This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Normally, you know, I'd start talking about politics and stuff, and I don't want to do that because I'm tired of it.
What?
We'll do that later. There's plenty of it. We already talked about the White Sox win. So there's sports, there's some news. Rain helped the horrible wildfire in Canada a little bit. Russians haven't left Syria yet. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about, but I thought I'd talk about this. We got monthly ratings yesterday that were great. Not just good, great. So I want to thank everybody that listens to this show and has supported this show. Now on show number 600, and no, it's not numbered. What's the show today? Six what? 646. 646, and again, people come up to me all the time, and they say, Steve, and I say, what? And they say, why do you number the shows? I don't know.
Is that they say Denzel, and you go, oh, no,
I get
Steve?
That a lot. I get Denzel. But, yeah, I don't know why I number the shows. I just do. And 646 is today, and thank you very much for the support. So, I don't know. I did do the math, right? We're up 20% in a month.
Fantastic.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. So I was thinking, what can we do for the listeners? Because honestly, you know, I mean, part of the reason this show is doing so well is because there's so much crap on the air. You know, there's some legitimate competition, like, you know, Eric and Kathy getting it done every day with their super fresh material, and Steve Harvey with one of his 47 jobs. So, you know, and I like all those guys. I like Eric. I'm just kidding around. I like Eric. I like Kathy. And I like Steve Harvey. But I feel like we should do something for the listeners. So I was thinking, what are our various strengths that we could lend to the listeners? And I thought maybe, you know, over the summer we could, you know, do some chores for the listeners. We
chores.
Could select listeners and do some chores. Yeah.
So it's like listener appreciation days.
What, like mow their lawn?
Yeah. Well, okay. You want to volunteer for that?
I like mowing the lawn. My
All
husband
right.
never lets me, but I like to do it.
Mary, mow lawn. Mary's going to mow a listener's lawn.
I'm not going to mow
Don't
a
give
lawn.
Me any flower duties, though. I'll kill them. It's not good.
Okay. No flower, Mary. Mow lawn, Mary.
Give that to Andrea. She can plant.
Oh, yeah. What do you want to do? What's your strength? It's not getting rid of people in your life who you don't like anymore.
You know what I'm really good at? I put food in the microwave.
So you'd make them a nice microwave dinner.
Yeah.
Andrea makes a listener microwave. Well, it wouldn't be dinner. You'd probably come over for lunch.
Yeah. Put microwave in there. Because I'm not going to whip
That's
up,
too late for dinner.
I'm yeah. not going to whip up a big to do.
What would you make? Any idea? Little Seattle Sutton?
No, I'd make Greek chicken.
A Greek chicken.
That's easy. But then I'd put that in the oven.
Does the Greek chicken cluck, Opa? Is that what
it
a Greek
might.
Chicken does?
I'll stuff it with feta.
Did you throw it in the crock pot? Isn't that easier?
I don't have a crock pot.
Oh.
Dave, would you just sit around and talk sports?
Maybe. Or how about I could do the play-by-play of the kids' game?
Oh, that's pretty good.
How about that?
That is pretty good, yeah.
So you'll actually go and do play-by-play. We put PBP on the big file here.
There you go.
Of any youngster's game. Sandberg, what are you going to do? Sandberg could just organize her day. Just produce the family's day.
I could do that. I also can braid hair really well, so I'd like to put that on the table.
All right. Now it's gotten creepy and personal.
Can I change mine?
Well, hold on a second, because we're already violating listeners' personal spaces.
I just don't want to cook. I want to leave that option open if somebody else wants to do that.
Did you hear Mary's judgmental, oh, when Andre said she didn't have a crock pot?
Yeah.
Oh.
What do you mean?
Mary,
I don't have kids.
I thought everybody had a crock pot. No one uses them, but everyone has them.
I think
them.
I do have one somewhere.
Oh. Yeah, you probably have one. You just never use it.
Well, let's review so far. Mary Vanderbilt's going to mow the lawn. Okay.
I might change that.
What are you going to do?
I think, you know, I'd like to sit around and talk politics and talk about news and current events.
But see, we already talk here. I feel like we need to do something other than just talk.
All right.
Talk is what we do all damn day.
All right. Put me back down for the microwave dinner.
All right. So you're in for the microwave?
All right. Yeah, I'm in for that.
Dave will do play-by-play of the kids' game. Sandberg will braid any family member's hair.
That's weird.
If they have it.
Okay, oops. Easy. Grzanich, what are you good at?
I make a mean cosmopolitan. I can make us all cosmopolitans.
That'll get Dave in from the game.
Yep. No, I'm not really a cosmopolitan guy.
Not a Cosmo guy. What are you
Mike
gonna do?
Jacobson, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I could record somebody's voicemail for him or something.
With a voice?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
He's got the great voice.
I was going to go bartending because I used to bartend, but then Sex in the City up there with the Cosmos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's awesome. All right, so what are you going to do?
Well, as
yes,
you know,
Steve.
As you know, I'm good at so many things. So I thought maybe I'd rewire the house, rebuild an engine on a car. Then I remembered I'm not good at any of that.
Right.
So I think I'll just go in and just to tell people my opinion on everything, you know, how they're doing things.
Oh, that would...
You know, because that's really what I do. I just say things that really, you know, people don't necessarily need to hear.
I thought you were going to say you'd play golf with them.
I'll play golf with them. That's
there
what I'll
you
do.
Go.
I thought you were going to say you'll get invited over and then you won't show up.
That's not bad, too. You guys will all go over and I won't show up.
I think the golf thing would work for you.
Yeah, lessons.
What if they were able to identify a neighbor they're not fond of, and then we go out in the yard with, say, a 6-iron
oh, yeah.
and a bag of balls, and we just hit cut shots through picture windows?
No, you awesome. Can't do that. I have to mow the lawn. You can't play on the lawn.
Well, we'd save you some.
Oh, we'd replace the divots.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Save you some spots.
All right, so just so you know, your thank you for supporting this show is you get your lawn mowed. Andrea's going to make some lunch. Mm-hmm. Dave's going to do play-by-play of your kids' game. Are you going to provide video and audio?
We need to kind of flesh this out a little bit.
You get a crew?
I'm thinking maybe they send me the tape of the kid playing and then I lay down the voice track.
No, I think you need to go to the game.
Yeah, you
need
to, go to, the
need
game.
To be at the game.
I think you need to go to the game, yeah.
Yeah, especially Little League, Dave. You'll be there for about 4 hours.
Oh, it's so cold right now.
Yeah, that biting wind Steve talked about a few minutes ago.
That's what I'm thinking.
This is supposed to be thanking the listeners, though, so we're
rejoicing. Yeah, what about your whiners? We were
yes.
trying to thank the listeners.
We're rejoicing in this. By the way, speaking of whining, I might bring lunch.
So you've changed microwave lunch twice, now you're going
to
bring it?
Well, I think they would want me to bring lunch. I'll bring Jimmy John's or Lou Malnati's. I'll bring lunch.
Certainly they can't do that on their own.
That's right.
Something special
we're
offering.
It'll go good with the Cosmos, too.
Grisanna's going to make Cosmos. Mary's going to braid their hair.
That's so creepy.
Jake's going to record their voicemail, and I'm going to hit golf balls at their neighbors.
I love it.
So,
it's perfect.
All right, so there you go.
Let's
you
pick
know,
a
I, you know what? I miss having a dog, and I won't get a dog because I won't pick up after a dog. So what if I take their dog for a walk?
Oh, that's a good idea.
I can play
idea.
Golf anytime.
Yeah, take the dog for a walk.
You got to bring the poop bags with you.
No, I'm not doing that.
You have to.
Yeah, you'll have to pick
that's
up the poop.
That's the law.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then you put me in jail. So I'm going to walk the dog.
There you go.
Okay. Now, if you look at this list, there's a lot of things there that really have value to the listener, I would think. In this, the lamest contest ever, but we'll figure out how we give that away.
So we're going to call it basically Listener Appreciation
Listener
Day.
Listener Appreciation Day, where we all go out and do something for the listeners.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So that was not exactly committed on your part. Yeah, that's a great idea.
No, it is good. I just get to bring the food.
All right, and we'll see how many times before 10 o'clock you and Mary change your mind on what your task is.
I don't know
be.
How to start the mower, so somebody's going to have to do that.
We could probably figure that part out.
Captain, people are afraid. That's why I'm here. We need to be put in check.
I'm sorry, Tony.
If I see a situation pointed south, I can't ignore it. Sometimes I wish I could. Sometimes I want to punch you in your perfect teeth.
I know we're not perfect.
But the safest hands are still our own.
Batman versus Superman. Captain America's Civil War, Hillary versus Donald. Can't we all get along? Nick DiGilio joins us. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right, buddy. How are you, man?
You know, doing fine. We are actually going to try to pay back the listeners for their support. A great numbers come in yesterday. By the way, the night numbers are great, too. Just killing it.
Thanks. That's what I hear. I'm very happy, man. And, I love doing the show, man. It's just, it's a thrill.
So let me ask you this, because everybody's volunteering to do something, including Sandberg's volunteering to braid a listener's hair. Is there something that you're good at that you would do for a listener? As a member of this show?
Yeah, I could sleep.
No. How would sleep for a listener? No, you got to do something for them.
Yeah, if they're tired but they have to work, I'll sleep for them.
Here's what I think you do. You get off the air at 5. We send you right out to a listener's house, because you got to go to bed eventually.
Yeah.
So what would you do for them? Andrea's got food covered. You want to make a mean pot of coffee?
No.
Okay. Are you good at anything?
Sleeping.
All right.
Wait, how about he watches a movie of their choice with the listener? Or watches something.
What about a live review of a movie?
There you go.
So he sits there and he critiques.
Okay, I can do it. What about live, I can do DVD commentary?
Yeah, I like that. like pop-up videos. But,
and you can make the popcorn.
Yeah, I'll do the popcorn because I can press a button on a microwave.
No, I'm
I can do that.
The food.
Yeah, the food's covered. Yeah, Mary, just mow the lawn. Mary, mow the damn lawn.
Sorry.
You think that microwave popcorn covers food?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a food group.
I thought Andrea was doing the crock pot thing.
Guys, stay out.
She doesn't have a crock pot.
Right? Well, I'll lend her mine.
Mary, make
I
notes.
I never use it.
Mary, you're having trouble following the show. Take notes, make notes.
All right. Wait, hold on. Are we all going to the same person's house?
We don't know.
Oh, okay.
We're working this out as we go along here.
All right. Well,
but I'm putting you down. I'm putting you down for live DVD commentary.
Okay, but it's a movie of their choice.
Yeah, but based on your schedule and not knowing where this listener could be, I'm thinking we just give them like a 30-minute thing. You know, we just do a 30-minute program. You're in and out because honestly, they may not want you in their house more than 30 minutes either. That's the other part of this.
I don't think they're going to want me in the house more than 2 minutes.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, like, if they pick, like, let's say, you know, it's, oh, I really love this movie. Nick, I want you to do DVD commentary on Ferris Bueller's Day Off. They're not going to be happy with my DVD commentary.
Why? You mean in case they really like the movie because they own it?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's a risk you take.
Okay.
So, by the way, we need to come up with tasks for Orion, Dr. Most, Dean, Hamp, Chuck Todd, and Karen Conti as well.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah. All right, so at 6:25, this Captain America. Yeah.
I just want to mention very quickly. I had to do a live read after playing DeCosta's promo for your show on May 15th.
Okay.
How am I expected not to laugh my ass off after hearing that and try to do a live read? We have to schedule that a little differently.
Well, it's nice of you to say, but really, John DeCosta has no perceivable skills, which is why he's not on this list. So we're just sending him out to, you know what they could, you know what John could do? John could go to somebody's house, and if they have a piano, he could do a sing-along, an old-style family sing-along.
That'd be cool. Yeah, sit around the piano.
Everybody gathers around and sings with John.
That'd be great.
All right. We're really building a list here. By the way, the chances we're going to get any of this done are slim. But we thank you very much for the support either way.
I really think, you know, Steve, I really think it should just be at one lucky person's house. And you know, like, we all come in and do what we're going to do. And then at the end of it, they're going to just arrest us. They're just going to call the cops. I go, I want all of these people out of my house right now.
Don't you think the weirdest part will be us waiting around for Mary to finish braiding a listener's hair? Picture that, all at one house. She's braiding the hair. Grzanich is making a Cosmo. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Good God, people. At 6:27. All right, Captain America, you loved it?
I did. Everything that the Batman movie got wrong, this movie gets right. And made $181 million at the box office, and it's still considered that it underperformed. We live in a world where a movie can gross almost $182 million in one weekend, and it's like, eh, it underperformed.
Yeah, it's rather amazing when you think about it. But when it costs that much to make that, I guess they have a number they want to hit, right?
Yeah. Well, the world, you know, the domestic numbers were solid. They were very good. And this movie, because it's good and not terrible like the Batman Superman movie, it's going to have legs. Like, the word of mouth on this movie is going to be really good as opposed to the Batman movie, which was really bad. So this will be on the charts near the top for the next couple of weeks. But worldwide, it did like $678 million over the weekend.
What about that Keanu movie?
The Keanu movie's not doing that well, man. And it's really, I didn't expect it to do, you know, like huge numbers, but I expected it to make a little more than what it's made already. And which is too bad because it's one of the funniest movies I've seen in, you know, in a long, long time, maybe a couple of years. And I think more people should be turned on to Key and Peele. So you've only got, you know, maybe one more week to see it in the theaters. Before
pull it
cut down to a free, yeah, they'll pull it to, you know, I mean, it'll still be in theaters and be a lot harder to find.
Okay.
You know, because next week we got the Money Monster, the Jodie Foster directed George Clooney movie, and that's going to take up a bunch of screens.
By the way, that looks absolutely awful.
Well, I hope it's good.
I hope it's good because of the cast, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. You know, and word of mouth on it is okay, but here's another thing. That I just want to mention this very quickly here, because, you know, now that you've got these two big comic book movies that came out, you got Batman and Superman, which was a disappointment critically and pretty much a disappointment financially. Now you've got the Civil War movie, which critically has gone through the roof and is destined to do a lot of money.
they screened the new X-Men movie, which is supposed to come out. It's coming out at the end of the month. It's coming out on Memorial Day weekend. And they screened it already, which is unusual. They screened it a couple of weeks before it opened. And the word of mouth on it is terrible.
But really?
It's terrible. And then now a lot of us in the biz are thinking that 20th Century Fox did this on purpose to counteract what happened to the Batman movie. Because when the bad word of mouth hit the street on the Batman movie, it happened right on opening weekend. Now they're hoping the bad social media word of mouth for this movie will die down by the time it opens. So now there's like a new...
How about that for strategy? Well, the movie sucks. We got to get the word out early so the suck fades and people still show up on opening weekend.
Thank you, social media. It's a whole different ballgame, man.
That's playing the ADD carom pretty hard. I don't know if that works or not.
Yeah, we'll see, man.
Nick DiGilio, killing it at night. And by the way, it starts with Download right through Patty and Nick. They're all big numbers. So thank you again very much for the support. And Steve Cochran's show, Errand Appreciation Day, will continue to be put together. Whether or not it happens remains to be seen, but I do like the idea. So, all right, buddy.
All right.
See it. It's 6:29. Big story next, 7:20 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week, where kids are helping others. You know, this Listener Appreciation Day thing is turning into the text question of the day.
Oh, things we can do?
Yeah, listeners are texting in things they'd like us to do for them in exchange for them listening.
Oh, this could be dangerous, though.
A 630 texter says, for Dr. Most, I'd like him to come in and do an in-home prostate exam.
Gross.
He's a doctor.
I don't think
it's a medical procedure. Dave's had four this week.
No.
From Most?
Okay. Nobody, no. No.
I didn't know you guys were that close.
No. I mean, that's not something like...
Probably violated several HIPAA codes just by bringing that up.
You did, Steve.
Yeah. Kid of the Week is what we do every week on a Tuesday, and a kid going above and beyond for the community is what we look for. There are so many nominations. It's hard to pick just one, but if you go to WGNRadio.com/contest and submit an entry for a kid between 5 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week, they just might be that kid. And in December, we choose the Kid of the Year from all 2016 Kid of the Week winners. You know, Mary and Dave pick the Kid of the Year, and there's another friend of the show who said, you know, I may kick in some money, too, for the Kid of the Year.
Money?
Yeah.
Not for us, Mayor.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you don't get paid to pick the kid, you weasel. Yeah,
bribed?
No, the money goes to the scholarship for the kid.
Right.
Great folks at Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. See all the inventory at Ray at RaymondDeals.com. Got a $5,000 prize for the Kid of the Year. You can go online to WGNRadio.com/contest to submit your entry. Of course, the Kid of the Week always wins, too. So, it's a good thing for good people like young Tanner, who we're about to meet right here. Would you like to say hi to Tanner? Tanner is this week's Kid of the Week.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Tanner.
Good morning.
How old are you?
I'm 16.
Tanner sounds like Jacobson. How about the voice on this kid? There's a future Orion Samuelson here. Do you know who Orion Samuelson is, Tanner?
I do not know.
Okay. He's got a deep voice like you. Do people tell you have a deep voice?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah. So, Tanner, what do you want to be when you're old?
I actually want to be a police officer.
Well, that's very nice. Where's that inspiration come from?
I don't know. I just want to get out and help people and do good, so I thought, why not?
No cops in the family?
Nope.
All right. Well, let's talk about you for a second here. You're a junior where? What school?
At Harlem High School in McChesney Park.
This is the big year, dude. This is the big year. Are you getting it done? Are you getting it done grade-wise?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Because it's the big year for grades, big year for your testing, your SATs, your ACTs, your BVDs, your all of them. Right?
Yeah, I know all that, and that's a struggle.
All right. You're going to get it done, man. I have nothing but faith in you. Yeah, so you had a question for Tanner?
Did you say Tinley Park?
No, McChesney Park.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay.
All right, so you're working on a project now, your Eagle Scout project. What are you doing?
I am building a platform and ramp for a handicap accessible platform and ramp for my bleachers at the high school.
How about that?
Very cool.
Nicely done by you. Do you have any carpentry skills or engineering skills of any kind?
No, but my dad is an engineer, and he's helped me out with the design of it.
He's the new Mr. Fix-It.
This isn't like the school science project, though, right, where dad does everything and the kid gets the credit?
No, not at all.
All right, because you're doing the Eagle Scout thing. You got to do the work, right?
Yep.
All right, so I'm told you're doing a great job. School's got about 2,000 students. The project will cost around, what is it, $35,000?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of pressure, bud. I no wonder they got you on it, so you can get it exactly right.
Yep.
Could be a full-time job, but you're getting that done with everything else?
Yeah, yep.
Well, Tanner, you're an impressive young man.
Thank you.
And for being on the show and for being Kid of the Week, let's go live to Mike Jacobson, who will now tell us what we'll be giving away.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just glad you didn't catch me off guard here.
No.
We'll give him a pair of tickets to the soccer match between Bayern Munich and AC Milan at Soldier Field. You a soccer fan, Tanner?
Yeah, I am.
Cool. July 27th. You're there, my man.
These are some of the best players in the world.
It's going to be a fantastic match. So if you're a soccer fan, that's right up your alley. And you like pizza, of course. So we'll give you a Lou Malnati's gift card, $25 there. And we'll send you over to App, too, $25 gift card as well.
Well, no, it's 50. 50 at App.
50 at App.
Yeah, 50 at App. Because it's Tanner.
Well, of course.
$50 at Apt as well. So all that for you, dude, just for being Kid of the Week. And keep up the great work, and good luck with that project.
Thank you very much.
All right, hold on. That's Tanner. You have time to talk to me. He's got to go out and build a ramp.
Yeah. Think about that. A $35,000 handicap accessible ramp.
To turn it over to a 16 or a 17-year-old.
That's really cool. That's a big project.
Must be people with a lot of faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he must have great carpentry skills.
Tanner
too.
The Eagle Scout. 651. Kind of a surprise text question of the day that came out of the discussion at the top of the show. What can we do for you? After record monthly ratings last month for this show, and great ratings for the whole radio station, I said, well, yeah, maybe we need to come out to a listener's house or a bunch of listeners' homes and do stuff. Run some annoying errands. Do things for you. So we put together a list. So far, Mary said she'd mow your lawn. Andrea's going to bring you lunch. Dave will do play-by-play of your kid's Little League game. But keep in mind, some of his green room demands are quite strict. Mary Sandberg, the producer of the program, will braid one of your family members' hair. Steve Grzanich will make you cosmopolitans. What's a 7 a.m. like a cosmopolitan, right? Mike Jacobson, producer of the program, will record your voicemail. I'll walk your dog. And Dr. Most will give you a prostate exam. We still need to get tasks later hooked up with Dean and Hamp and Karen Conti and Orion. Nick will provide DVD commentary to a DVD you two will watch together. And a texter from the 847 says, I've never seen the Godfather trilogy. Nick should come over.
Oh, yeah, because that won't take 6 hours.
It's 7, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
No microwave popcorn here. I've got a real popcorn machine, says the listener.
I love those old-fashioned popcorn machines.
6-0 texter says, Steve, if you can't play golf, maybe clean my clubs.
Would you do that?
That'd be great. That was my first job. I was a club cleaner when I was 14.
Don't you think you should also ask Dr. Most before you commit him to giving all these exams?
No.
Okay.
224 texter, for listener appreciation day, I'd like Dave to come over and help me with my laundry. Are you any good at laundry?
Well, what? I mean, yeah, why me? I don't get that.
Why are you questioning the listener?
It seems kind of intimate.
I mean, I'm happy to do it, I guess.
Or do you assume it's women's work? You think Andrea and Mary ought to be doing it?
I'd say, now you're putting words in my mouth, Steve. I didn't say that.
Dave, it's 2016.
I don't.
I'm shocked.
I don't have any particular expertise in that area, though.
I'm stunned.
Yeah, well, what can I tell you?
I'm fake outraged.
Texter says, I'd like all the ladies on the show to help me move a bunch of boxes out of the garage.
What?
Yeah, and then Steve, you and the rest of the staff could help me egg my stupid neighbor's house.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Now you're talking.
I'm not doing heavy lifting.
How are you going to have time to egg? You're doing the laundry, and you guys are moving boxes.
Yeah, right. I'm not moving boxes.
Yeah, come on, it's 2016.
Jake and I will be egging a house next door. Got it going on. At 6:54, Chuck Todd will be on in about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk more specific politics then. Here's something you don't hear every day. Because if you did, these people would be fired. What happens on local news sometimes is because it's a bunch of good-looking people who read for a living. Not that I'm knocking local news. You both do local news. But honestly, you know, you're trained here. You're skilled at it. There's a bunch of bimbos you work with in TV. Please.
Come no, on, not at nine.
Oh, no. Stop it.
No, we work with Sapelsa and Lourdes. Yeah,
bimbo. Yeah. No, yep. Not at Chicago's very own.
Yeah, no, they're all bims.
No, they're fantastic.
Yeah, himbos and bimbos.
Why do you say that?
Well, because it works for this.
Okay.
This is a few clips that we found that are sort of self-explanatory. First one being from Channel 15 in Madison, Wisconsin, where a weatherman steps in it. Listen.
Oh, my gosh, a doctor. Okay, Charlie, I'm going to sit here and just hang out with my new best friend, Bettina.
Really?
Into weather. Oh, yeah.
I think you two should get a hotel room or something. That's a lot of action going on over there.
Oh, Charlie.
Probably the most action you've had in months, huh?
Awkward.
Let's take a look at the weather.
All right, this guy's name is Charlie Shortino. Is that right, Jake?
Yeah, Charlie Shortino. I actually met him a few times when I lived in Madison.
Is he that big a creep normally?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
His name's Charlie Shortino.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Clip number two, a little less creepy maybe. You decide. Let me know when you're ready, and we'll roll it.
Living Social is offering a great deal at the Richmond International Raceway. For $64, a professional instructor will take you for a three-hour heart-pounding lap ride. $190.
A three-lap ride.
Three-lap ride, thank you.
Not a lap ride.
$499. Sorry about that. You can leave them on the seat.
As they fall apart, yes, right she back. Said a hot pounding lap ride.
Okay, but in her defense, that's probably how it was written.
Well, okay, Anchorman.
Yeah.
Okay, Ron Burgundy.
She's Ron Burgundy.
It's hard.
Could you possibly then read it and correct it and understand it instead of just reading it?
She should have just whipped through it and not even stopped and laughed because she.
Well, when you
some
get
people
the,
wouldn't even notice it.
Oh. I don't know about that.
Yeah, you know.
No.
How about continue on?
How about one more with style?
And England skipper Andrew Strauss arrived in London proudly showing off the little urn. They'll spend 4 days at home before flying out for the World Cup. And Belinda, I just can't understand how something so small can be so impressive.
Well, Mark, you would know about that. Thank you very much. Weather's next with Jane Riley, but first, here's George Negus.
Do you have a feeling maybe date night went badly for those two? Wow.
But you know what? Again, in her defense, maybe she meant he knew about the topic.
Mm-hmm. Is this part of you trying to make nice out of everybody? She was clearly making fun of his little urn.
Well, Mark, you would know about that.
That's exactly right. It's 6:57. We'll take a break, come back. Chuck Todd in 10 minutes on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Which Donald Trump do we believe on your feelings toward Hillary Clinton? 2012 or now?
Okay. I built an amazing company, some of the greatest assets in the world, and just great stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to get in fights with politicians. I'm not looking to get in fights with the Secretary of State. When somebody says 3, 4, 5 years ago, let's look at Hillary Clinton, what do you think? I say, she's doing great. I say, everybody's doing great. The fact is, she has not done a good job. When I look at what happened with Libya, when I look at what happened with Benghazi, when you look at the migration, but I'm not looking to criticize. You can look at many politicians that haven't done a good job. How are they doing? They're doing just fine. I'm not looking to get into wars with politicians because I need politicians.
I don't feel like I need to add anything to that. Chuck Todd will join us in a second from Meet the Press. Donald Trump's tax plan. That's what they were talking about. And your words should matter. If they don't, then why say anything? That would be one of my questions. As far as the legal side of the Trump and Hillary shenanigans, Trump's trial on Trump University has been postponed, or at least his piece of the trial has been postponed until after the election in November. And Hillary Clinton, according to the FBI, was not trying to commit any crimes or trying to do anything malicious with her emails. Those are based on leaks so far, not anything official. So it doesn't appear that the legal system will get in the way of this delightful election between the blowhard and the liar as we go forward.
I don't think just because you're a politician, you should be allowed to change your mind weekly or in the same interview.
Well, that's where the justice system of the voter comes in.
The voter
should be able to say this person says one thing and does another.
Well, it's called,
previously that would exclude you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to get votes if you said one thing and did another.
I like in that interview, he says, well, it's called life, Chuck. We got to ask him.
It's called up, Chuck.
It's called life.
John O'Hurley is scheduled to join us here in just a few minutes as well. What's their status, Jake and Chuck Todd? What are we doing here? Not that I don't enjoy tap dancing, but what are we doing?
Oh, we're just trying to get them on a different line here, it looks like. So.
Okay.
We will get them.
You're not fake fighting, though, right?
Chuck and I?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
It's just we got a lot to do, and, you know, is O'Hurley here yet? No? Okay, maybe he's running late. That'll be helpful.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Then, in the distance, I heard the bulls. And I began running as fast as I could. Fortunately, I was wearing my Italian cap-toe Oxfords. Sophisticated, yet different, without making a huge fuss about it. Rich, dark brown calfskin leather. Matching linen vamp. Men's hole in half sizes, 7 through 13. Price $135.
Jay Peterman. I'll tell you what, you know, I mentioned this yesterday. When John O'Hurley was on Channel 9, what did I say when I looked up and saw the monitor?
He's hilarious.
No.
He's awesome.
No, he's funny. Yes, he's funny. Yes, he's awesome. But he looks terrific.
You did say that, yeah.
I remember having dinner next to you at, I think, there's a hotel in Beverly Hills many years ago. You look the same age as you do now. What is it? Are you moisturizing, John? What are you doing?
I marinate in olive oil.
It's a nightly thing?
No, it's a morning thing. I'm up at 4 and they dip me in and I'm 5. It all gets back together again.
So somebody else brought up something yesterday related to Bill Curtis. Do you know Bill Curtis?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Bill Curtis, of course, our friend Bill Curtis. Close your eyes and listen to O'Hurley talk.
Okay.
Just say, tonight, our top story is.
Tonight, our top story is.
It's Bill Curtis.
Yeah, chills. Look at that.
You know what we ought to do? I've got Curtis's cell phone. Let's have O'Hurley call Curtis and leave nasty messages on his cell phone so Bill thinks he's calling himself in the middle of the night.
That's what you should do, though, Tim. He's got his number. I'll call right now. Don't you?
How are you?
Good. I'm fine.
Well, nice to see you. Welcome to town.
Welcome. I was, you know, when I said yes to coming to do Chicago in Chicago,
yeah.
I was thinking May, that beautiful month as the boom.
Yes.
Not so much.
What do you think about 55 and rainy?
Oh, sideways, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. But it's a good day to be inside the theater.
It is. Tucked inside, neatly tucked inside. As you open That's your right. program, listen to the sounds of candor and ebb.
All right, so singing and dancing.
Yes, we are.
And
tonight. We open at 7:30.
And Andre is your date.
I'm going to be there, yeah. I will be there. I can't wait. It's one of my favorite productions. I can't wait to see you play Billy Flynn.
You and I will be getting jiggy with it.
Yes, Steve, I am taking tomorrow off, FYI.
Well, if there's any getting jiggy with it going on, call me.
Okay.
That's right. All right, so you get offers.
We will be up there shaking our badonkadonks.
I'm in.
You know, you get offers to do stuff all the time. This is a pretty serious physical, mental, and other stressing things role.
You know, thank you for saying that, but it's one of the most enjoyable things I do. This role in this musical is just absolutely gold for me. I have had, this is 10 years that I've been doing this now, both on Broadway and on tour. This will be my fourth trip through Chicago, doing Chicago. Mm-hmm. And if there's one event that I have to do when I see it there, it's doing Chicago in Chicago.
Sure, of course.
And I make no other promise.
Serendipity.
It is, but I also make no other promise than this, is that when you see this show in this town, you will hear the music that Candor and Ebb wrote in a way that you cannot hear it anywhere else in the world, because the musicians here in Chicago play the score here with an innate sense of Chicago jazz that you can't replicate anywhere else. You can't find it.
Wow.
And that's one of the reasons that we love coming here, is because we hear the score played. It's entertainment for us to hear the score played so well. So
can you take yourself out of the moment of doing the show night after night because you're in Chicago and feel it more?
You know, I think it means more here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a big, I like the authenticity of what we're doing, and I know that – you know, these were the streets that Fosse walked. This mm-hmm. is the area that Kander and Ebb lived. And this is so much a part of the, you know, the core of what the show is all about. You know, if Bob Fosse was a, I mean, you know, he was, talk about a ragtag, you know, militia man. He, at the age of 14, was, you know, the spokesman at the old burlesque clubs, you know, at night and stuff.
Well, a kid's got to work.
Yes. Yeah, right. I mean, he lived this, the seamier side of Chicago, which is sure. what this wonderful musical brings to life. So, it's, you know, it's really, it's kind of, it's a song about home turf.
One of my favorite numbers ever, Razzle Dazzle.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Oh, my gosh.
Just
love it.
Slowly and seductive.
Yeah, and I don't want to give away your process, but I walked out in the hall. He's warming up in the mirror in the men's room doing Razzle Dazzle, and he did the whole thing. Did the entire number. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of room to dance in there.
Yeah, it's
you know, that's the small. That's the bathroom I was fired in.
I am going to get cheeky with it.
He is Billy Flynn. JohnOHurley.com for all things John O'Hurley. So 10 years ago, when you get this role the first time, how much auditioning did you have to do?
None. I sat with Barry Weisler, who owns the show, just following Dancing with the Stars. And we're in New York. We had a cocktail at his place there at on Central Park. And
what did you drink? Do you remember?
For me, it was a big glass of Chardonnay.
Ah, Chardonnay.
Very manly.
Yes, of course.
It's a big old glass of Chardonnay. Make it a double.
He's looking at you going, really? Billy?
Billy?
Yes. That's Chardonnay for you?
Yeah, okay. All right, Cabana Boy. We'll see if it works. So I just said, yeah, I want to do Billy. He said, okay, when? And I said, well, I got, you know, about 3 months free. I said, if you,
but how did you?
6 weeks later, I was there.
Yeah, how did you guys know each other?
Well, because he owned the show, and I just had known him for years.
But was Dancing with the Stars a big deal to him?
Oh, it was. It was the number one show in.
Right, but I mean, point being, he saw you had chops. He saw you could pull it off, right?
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, he would know that. I had a long Broadway career before that.
I knew that, but did he know that?
Yes, yes, he did.
Yeah, because I do more homework than he does.
Ooh. That'll never get back to him.
No, of course not.
That's right.
So you not only are you not tired of it, you love doing it more than ever.
You know what I do? I've done the show over 1,500 times. So before I walk on stage every single night, and I do this for everything that I do, before I go on stage, just before I walk up the stairs, I drop my head, I bow my head, and I say a prayer. And the prayer is this. I say, God, let me be surprised. That's it.
Well,
that's
nice.
All I have to do. And I walk up, I'm calm, I am absolutely receptive to everything. And it helps me get back to the notion that acting is reacting and not going out with a predisposition. So I go out there and I listen and I respond. I know what I'm going to say. I just don't know why I'm going to say it yet. And it keeps it so much cleaner. And I always look for one surprise. Let me be surprised. And I'm always surprised every night. Something new hits me on that stage. So to say that the role is 1,500 times richer than when I started back in 2005 is probably an accurate statement, because it is. I mean, there's so many moments on that stage that never occurred to me 10 years ago.
The cool thing is Broadway in Chicago has made Broadway affordable, mm-hmm. because you get tickets for this show that can start as $30.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, $30 to $100. So this is accessible to everybody.
It is, including the cast. Those are the ones I buy, because, you know, everybody pays in this town.
That's right.
even a cast.
Johnny, need 10.
People calling O'Hurley going, buddy, right. Who's this?
Exactly.
Tickets available at 800-775-2000, all Ticketmaster retail locations, or BroadwayInChicago.com. How long in town?
I'll be here. Well, we moved to, I tell you, this is how much I love Chicago, is that we're here from, I came in 2 days early, and I'll be leaving. We open Tuesday night up in Appleton, Wisconsin, a place that I've never been to.
Yeah.
I'll be leaving here on Tuesday, just in time to open in Appleton. I'm staying here as long as I possibly can. You know why? Because for me, when I come to Chicago, I come for two reasons: to do Billy Flynn, and then at 10 o'clock at night, to hop into the car and have the driver take me to RL Restaurant there. I have a 5-night reservation already, my table in the corner.
You get the same entree every night, or you mix it up?
Yeah, no, at night, no, same entree. I get the filet that they do. It's that famous Gibson's filet that they do at RL with the port reduction.
You know, they've done,
it comes directly from God, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, they put a drive-thru in. So if you're running late, you can just whip around the corner.
Just say,
RL, known for that kind of move.
The back window at the peninsula.
Have we got time to hang for a minute?
Yeah, okay, we so got all the time. Anything right. you want.
We
got
to do some quick news here.
The day begins with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Get off my lap. Because I got to ask you about your golf game as well. 7:28. We're all golf nuts on this show. Before we go any further, what do I need to do? Just point at you and you'll push a button? Watch this.
Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah. 7:38 Chicago opens tonight in Chicago. And the man known best for getting jiggy with it, John O'Hurley, is in studio. What was your first musical?
The first musical I did was in first grade. And I talk about this because I have my one-man show now, and I make the audience sit through the musical of it. It was Sing a Song of Sixpence, that epic musical production of that popular.
What part were you?
Thank you very much. I did not have it's 4:20 Blackbirds Baked in a Pie.
Well,
when the pie was open.
Preaching to the choir. Yeah. Sure, I know the play.
Yeah. All right. When they get to the part where they say the maid was in the garden hanging up the clothes, mm-hmm. That's where we stopped the show, and I turned to everybody and goes, that's where I made my world debut. As a member of the King's Royal Garden, I was a marigold.
Oh, you were?
Yes, with the big wad of crepe paper stuck on my chest.
Did you crush it? Did you nail it?
You know, I did. I stood tall. I was so angry that I wasn't one of the speaking roles, but all those speaking roles went to the kids in the first reading group, which I was not in. I was back in the meatier part of the bell curve there. But they all got the speaking roles, and I got nothing. All I had to do was stand up with this piece of crepe paper on my chest.
Right.
And I realized that the deck was pretty much stacked against me in this business early on.
So do you feel the pressure you were under as a crepe paper marigold propelled you on to the success that you've had?
Well, make no mistake. I was the best marigold. When I got on that stage, two lines before the entire show ended, it stopped being about the king and that 4:20 blackbirds and the pie that they baked for him. It became about a marigold standing as tall as he could in the garden of the king.
Were you concerned at all, or were your people concerned you might be pigeonholed with nothing but marigold parts?
It was a concern. Thank you for that, exactly. Yeah, and for many years, I played more agrarian roles.
Right,
trouble-breaking free.
But you, thank goodness you broke out.
I did. Well, you know, I developed a thicker skin. I developed tenacity.
No doubt.
I kept humming the Itsy Bitsy Spider to myself. That was my fight song.
I couldn't help but notice you humming it during the break.
Mm-hmm. That was my fight song. Because he, no matter how bad that rain was going to come back up.
Speaking of rain, I've got a 10 o'clock at the beautiful White Eagle Golf Club in nearby Naperville, so if you want to swing out there with me. How much are you playing these days?
As much as I can. Golf is still a luxury for me. I'm living about 250 days in a plane. So,
aren't you getting a flinch at all? Because I know you love it.
I do. I really do. I wish I could play more. But I always have at the end of the what I call my year, which is really in July. That's my time off. We have the NBC, the Celebrity Golf Championships up there in Tahoe, and I always make that. That's 25 years I've been doing that now, and I've never missed it.
That's your Masters.
That's my Masters, yeah. It's the end of the year, and it's like I get a week of nothing but golf up at Tahoe.
When you're playing well, what can you play to? Handicap or index?
I'm a 5 handicap.
You're
when
five.
I'm playing well, I can play to a 6.
See, that seems to be my problem. I'm a 6 trending to 10. I'm watching Dancing with the Stars, and I can't help but think of you. I think you were one of the best to ever be on the show, and you looked like you belonged.
The first season was the most innocent. It is so over-marketed and overproduced now, and you're there to push your audience to vote for you. It was none of that the first year. We were just trying not to fall down.
Right.
I was seduced and abandoned by ABC on this series. They took me to lunch to pitch the series to me, and I should have known right up front that this was something was up strange, because first of all, ABC never takes me to lunch. Number two, they never pitch a show to me.
Yeah, right.
So I'm at lunch and they're talking with everybody had their notebooks open, and they were showing me the spreadsheet or spread these videos of the show coming from London, and it was all about this dancing, and there was a live orchestra and what have you, and they said, so we're going to do this summer and we'd like you to do it. And I said, I'll be glad to host it. And they said, no, we want you to do it.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up, because that's a story I always heard, is that the Bergeron part, and we love Tom. Mm-hmm. Tom's on the show this week, I think. But Bergeron was supposed to be you. True or not true?
They would never entertain the idea of me hosting it. They wanted me to do it.
See, that's the perfect part.
And so I said, okay, well, who else have you got? And they said, well, you're the first one we've asked. They said, but now that you said yes, we can get Evander Holyfield. And I reeled back at lunch, and I looked around the room at these five people that were talking about this, and I go, I get it. I get it now. What you have just done is used a summer replacement series to give America what they've been screaming for 20 years, which is the Evander Holyfield-John O'Hurley matchup. Finally, on the level playing field of ballroom dancing.
Right.
And if memory serves, I took him out in the third round with my foxtrot.
That's exactly right.
You were great at
the
foxtrot.
And he's never forgotten. If I remember right, didn't you get jobbed in the final?
Yeah, well, the final, we did. You know, it's always very controversial. She fell three times and got three tens, and that's because she won the... you couldn't vote live back then.
Kelly
Monaco. Yep.
Kelly Monaco.
Yeah.
Beautiful girl.
Oh, gorgeous.
3 foot six inches tall. She'd fit in your pocket.
She did. Yeah. It spun like a, never mind.
Yeah.
She won the online. You'd go online and vote, and you could vote. Then you could vote all week long, and she had 3 million fans signed to
the audience voting.
She had 3 million fans signed to her thing, and none of us had any of that. So she never lost. She couldn't lose, and she fell three times in the final dance, and she still got three tens.
Fixed.
And so
fixed.
It was it was fixed. And the sad part about it was having to have the judge break it to Charlotta, my partner, that they had to give her three tens no matter what. That was telling the number one ballroom dancer in the world, Charlotta Jorgensen, that they basically had to do it.
And you said the hardest dances.
The hardest dances for me.
Yeah.
Anything that ended in a vowel. The rumba, the salsa, the cha cha cha. Anything if it ended in a vowel, I have these tight little Greenwich hips, and they weren't going to move. But I anything that was a smooth style, the foxtrot, the quick step, mm-hmm. the waltz, any of that stuff. It's just, I took to it like that.
The traditional dance of the male taking the lady's hand and showing her a wonderful time.
Exactly. Right. And the gentle art of two people dancing together is one.
Question for you. This kid, Niall DeMarco, who none of us knew, a model who is deaf.
Mm.
Okay, look. I've got 3-4 good steps before I have to sit down for a while. For those of us who don't know dancing at that level, I still have no comprehension how this kid does
it. I went to, because I go every year.
Yeah.
I do it as a fundraiser every year. The two people sitting next to me have paid probably about $50,000 to be there.
Well,
I've raised almost $1 million since the show has ended.
Good for you. You got a foundation or where's the money going?
That's a good question.
It's a Trump charity. We funnel it through the Trump people.
No, I have several children's charities. Child
good
Health
for you.
Is one of them.
Good for you.
Anyway, but there's always, when somebody's sitting next, if I'm there, you know that there's about $50,000 being raised. But so I go back there and I watched him dance. And I looked at my wife and I go, this is, because he has no concept of sound.
No.
Think about it. So how do you explain sound and rhythm to someone who, I mean, I guess you can tap rhythm and maybe it's an intrinsic thing that you can feel repetition, but that's all it is.
Right. And they do hand signals
music gets
quicker.
Never hears music. He doesn't hear the swell of the music, or he can't be inspired by the music. All he hears is a linear type of tapping.
And they do the team thing. So he's got to learn one person, and then they do the team thing where you got to know where everybody is.
Everybody.
It is.
It's pretty miraculous.
Unbelievable. And he responds to it and is... I met him after the show. I'd never met him before, but he was one of the sweetest people you've ever met.
Great kid.
Just unaffected by life and what's going on. You know, that's the wonderful thing about Dancing with the Stars. It's just there are so many of these great stories. It starts every year. Oh, they're D-list. You know, it's like, no, that's not what it's about. It's about learning something that you've never done before and having the courage to leap and know that the net will appear. You know, and that's all it is. That's all it is about. And it celebrates talent, which is what
I give everybody on that show credit for standing up and stepping into the abyss and taking a full-on chance to make a complete ass out of yourself and physically injure yourself.
Let me give you an example of what it's like. If I handed you a violin today and say, could you possibly have a concerto for the entire country to listen to next Tuesday night.
That's asking the wrong guy happens to be my Gozo.
Oh, it's a Gozo, that's right.
I can't say what.
No, it's fair. Yeah.
Zubin Mehta, be damned.
Just have it ready next week, and then the week after have a new one, right?
Have a brand new one. Yeah. And sometimes two.
John O'Hurley's here, and Chicago is in town. You want to see the best Billy Flynn, you go see Chicago for the run. Very limited time here, kids. Don't miss it. BroadwayInChicago.com or get your tickets at 800-775-2000. You'll be there tonight.
I'll be there tonight. Yeah, it runs through the 15th.
Can I ask you about this before we run out of time?
Yes.
Okay,
oh, please.
So can if I go to JohnO'Hurley.com, could I buy this?
No, but if you go to TimeandOak.com. TimeandOak.com. These are the most amazing things. These are little pieces I'm handing you. I don't know if anybody can see them.
Yeah, well, we got video here.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. The security cams. That'll work.
It does. It is a little bank footage, yes.
These are pieces of charred, digitally charred white oak, actual white oak. This is the barrel that they were aged in. So now instead of taking it out of the barrel, you are putting the barrel in the bottle. If you do this to your whiskey, do it to your gin, do it to your vodka, tequila. If you do it to moonshine, believe it or not, it works. Drop a piece into your red wine. It'll work. If this changes, it takes a 3-year-old Jim Beam and makes it taste like a 12-year-old in 24 48 or 72 hours, you determine what you want your whiskey to taste like. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most miraculous. I had it at the the Dowden Vegas at the food and wine, the beverage convention out there, and this shocked everyone. They put they took the cheapest tequila and put this whiskey stick, we call them, but they're whiskey elements, from timeandoak.com. You put those in, and over 20 minutes, the cheapest tequila was turned a little bit honey-colored and was the most drinkable thing you have ever
had. Is that right?
And who wants tequila at 9 in the morning, you know, unless you're coming in on the back end of the party?
Well, that's only on Cinco de Mayo. It was just that one day.
It starts at Cuatro de Mayo and moves into Cinco de Mayo.
My only concern is there's only 2 sticks per package, and Dave is quite a drinker.
It is. Well, if you want more, you let us know. But I got to tell you, the most remarkable thing I've ever seen in the world of whiskey, you drop this in, your Jim Beam will taste like a... And do it with bourbon. You do it with anything you can. It's called timeandoak.com. Go to them and get the sticks. I think they were like $15 for 2, but that will change. Drop it right into the whiskey bottle. Let it sit there for 24, 48, 72 hours, and it will change the taste of it, and I guarantee it.
John O'Hurley loves Chicago. By the way, he could have stayed in home in L.A. He could have done Burbank, the musical. Could have done Bakersfield.
Yes, instead, Barstow, the musical.
Barstow, the musical. No, you said Chicago.
Chicago.
For me.
I like the way it sounds.
Yeah. Congratulations on the success, man.
We're looking forward to this. Tonight is going to be a great opening night. It's going to continue during the week, and it is and by the way, it is now the longest running musical in theater history.
How about
it's
that?
It's the 20-year. 20 years. We'll be celebrating the 20-year anniversary. I'll be there this fall on Broadway.
We're thrilled to have you here.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here, and I love you guys. I always love a conversation with you, and this is why I love radio, because you can take an idea and actually discuss it rather than working in sound bites.
Right, you know? And you don't have to sit around with 100 TV people going, "What's next? We got a cooking segment.
Let's drive him. Yes, drive him.
Get the ingredients on the set.
We got guacamole that's turning brown. Get O'Hurley off the air.
And it's still okay to say break a leg before you go dance in a musical?
It sure does. Works for me.
JohnO'Hurley.com. Check that out as well. And BroadwayInChicago.com for Chicago tickets. You're always welcome here. Nice to see you, my friend. We'll get to Koss on the phone next hour for a karaoke plug and critique, if you will. And we continue to take suggestions on the text question of what would you like us to do for you after you've done so much for us. The monthly ratings that came in yesterday. Not that we've had great numbers for 3 years now, but it's always nice to see a big pop. And yesterday was exceptional. So really good morning show numbers, really good numbers for the station all day and all night long. So thank you very much for your support of WGN and your continued support. So my thought was, well, what can we do for you? What can we do for you? How can we help you? After you listen every day, how can we help you? And by the way, don't let this keep you from going out and telling more people to listen to the show.
Right, because then we'll continue to do more stuff for you.
Well, my point is, until we have everybody, we don't have everybody.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's deep.
It is deep. Text, you're listening in San Diego. You want to come to San Diego? It's nice here, and I need Dave to do my laundry as well.
Well, if it means going to San Diego... Sure.
Dave has developed quite a laundry reputation.
Mm-hmm. How did this happen?
708 texter says, I'd like one of you to babysit my 10-year-old and 7-year-old triplets so my husband and I could regain our sanity for a few hours. Oh, my 10-year-old and 7-year-old triplets. I thought she had two sets of triplets.
I thought she did, too.
My 10-year-old and 7-year-old triplets.
Oh, so three 7-year-olds plus one is four. Okay. That's too many.
Andre is great with
kids. I was going to say, I love kids.
No, I'd do this.
You want to do it together?
10 and 7? I would rock and roll these kids all day.
All right, let's do that together because there's four kids. Yeah. All right, we'll do that.
You guys have fun.
Sounds like a great job for Uncle Nick. Ooh, that's where she made a mistake. I don't think you want Nick hanging around with the kids. Mm-mm. Imagine the movies he'd have them watching.
Exorcist. Remember he snuck out and saw The Exorcist when he was 5?
224 texter would like Coach Q to clean their gutters, as I mentioned. 224 texter said, I think you're all overpaid. Come over and pay my bills.
That's a funny audience.
They wouldn't know.
312 texter. Actually, it comes from our payroll office.
Well, that's different.
312 texter. I'd like you to walk my cat.
Oh, Steve, there you go.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. 847 texter. Steve can come over and do stand-up or improv, but you could do it early.
Now, that's not a bad idea. You could do like your own little comedy
show. Do a show in the living room?
Yeah, a quick little set.
From the 907, can Orion MC my parents' 50th wedding anniversary?
That's a cool idea.
Or as Orion likes to say, you're just getting started, kids.
Mm-hmm.
847, Steve, could you give me tips on how to make my granddaughter cry?
Yeah, that you could do.
That's just mean. Steve, you could potty train my 2-year-old. Now, that's an area I don't remember that I was particularly skilled at.
Mm-mm.
I do remember, though, at one point, Ross yelling, hey, Daddy, I made a big one. So that was good.
Put that in the photo book.
By the way, he's 25 now. This was a while ago.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
10, 15. If was, yeah.
His boss is sitting ago. In the green room, you know. So.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid I might hear Hochberg yell that at some point. From the 847, can everyone help mow both my neighbor's yards so my property value can finally increase? You know, when the neighbors aren't mowing their yards and you're mowing yours. Steve, come to my house and try to interpret what my wife says when she starts talking.
I can do that. I'll help him with that one.
Oh, and from the 630, maybe have Lou come over and do the prostate exam and give Dr. Vos the day off. You guys are great. Keep those textures coming in. We're trying to figure out what we can do for you.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
Which Donald Trump do we believe on your feelings toward Hillary Clinton? 2012 or now?
Okay. I built an amazing company, some of the greatest assets in the world, and just great stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to get in fights with politicians. I'm not looking to get in fights with the Secretary of State. When somebody says 3, 4, 5 years ago, let's look at Hillary Clinton, what do you think? I say, she's doing great. I say, everybody's doing great. The fact is, she has not done a good job. When I look at what happened with Libya, when I look at what happened with Benghazi, when you look at the migration, but I'm not looking to criticize. You can look at many politicians that haven't done a good job. How are they doing? They're doing just fine. I'm not looking to get into wars with politicians because I need politicians.
He just, you know, you cut the top of Trump's head off. You know what it'd look like? You know when you put Christmas lights away and you're in a hurry and you go, probably should have untangled those? You go, well, I'm never going to get the wiring right on this.
And then some of the bulbs are out. They don't work anymore.
Oh, there's definitely some bulbs out. Add Chuck Todd on social media. Chuck Todd from Meet the Press joins us. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Steve.
I just can't take it. I know I have to for many more months.
6 more months?
Can't take it.
You know, I've been thinking about this. I think, you know, it's so funny. Trump supporters don't understand how anybody can be for Clinton. Clinton supporters can't understand how anybody can be for Trump. There's a group of voters that can't understand how this is our choice. But this is going to be obviously a divisive election. My concern is that nobody's going to accept the result.
Well, that's an interesting point, and I also want to give you credit for being the one person that has consistently held Trump's feet to the fire, because here's a guy now that couldn't see the pot or the kettle after blowing up his own marriages, and he wants to bring up Bill Clinton and Hillary's marriage, I should say, his tax returns that he doesn't want to reveal, The military charity money back in Iowa that hasn't been distributed. I mean, I feel like, Chuck, and you know I'm a fan, but I feel like you're one of the few people trying to get actual answers out of him.
Well, but the, you know, I tell you, that answer that you played, you know, what's amazing about him is that he basically is saying, my words don't matter.
Yeah.
That's what he said. My words don't matter. My action, and he's not saying this, but his actions matter. We now know why conservatives were right to sit there and say he's no real conservative. He is not going to die on the hill for a conservative cause. Trump's only going to die on the hill for a Donald Trump cause. Right? And I think that if there's anything to be illuminated by Trump interviews, I feel like the one thing that I'm confident in saying is, as president, it's possible he can support any bill based on how it's spun the first time it gets sent to him.
Well, but don't you think that also is one of the major character flaws in that I hear people all the time discussing Trump's strategy. Trump's strategy starts when he wakes up in the morning. I
100% right.
Yeah, because he doesn't get up and go, well, here's what we're going to do here, and here's what my people are doing there. There's never been a campaign run this way.
No, it's all gut. Look, mechanically, it's going to be a campaign that has circles run around it. You know, we're going to find out what here's what we're going to find out, because it's not as if this is a campaign that's going to do all the little things right and be able to maximize its support. We're going to know what is the anti-Clinton vote floor, right? Like, because financially and mechanically, operationally, he's only building a campaign that can successfully do that. I don't know how he's going to, because he doesn't seem to have the resources, and they don't have the people right now to build the campaign you would need to do to micro-target your way to 50% plus one.
The honesty problem for Hillary is not going anywhere. It will continue to be an issue, even if there's no indictment and the FBI says, look, stupid, maybe, criminal, we don't think so. But those are all based on leaks. We don't know yet. Having said that, who is not in her head saying you might want to actually say something respectful of Republicans, since there are people looking from the Republican Party to maybe even vote for you?
Yeah, no, I think... But she's in a box right now because she doesn't want to look like she's abandoning the progressive movement yet while Sanders is still hanging around. But I think that there is, particularly on stability and foreign policy, and I think that that's where she wants to go. I think domestically there is no upside for her in her mind to reach out to Republicans on substantive issues domestically. The divide is too big. And frankly, the philosophical differences between the two parties on, you know, should government, you know, be the role or play a small role, you know. But on foreign policy is where I think she could win over some of the Republican foreign policy community and those that care about international affairs more. And I think that's where I would expect her to outreach, because her whole thing is going to be he's unstable, doesn't have the temperament to be president. And that usually is code for national security.
Chuck, until now, she hasn't really been counterattacking. Do you see that offensive changing? Do you see more attacks on her part now, more vocal, or should she stay away from that strategy?
There is a divide inside the campaign about what to do. I know some of the campaign do not like what the Democratic Party has done, for instance, which is adopt the nickname model. I don't know if you've noticed that the DNC is trying to push out this dangerous Donald.
Yep.
So he's crooked Hillary, and they want to do dangerous Donald. The Clinton campaign, there are some in the Clinton campaign that believes the lesson to be learned on going after Trump is the Rubio lesson, which is don't do what he does. You do what he does, he'll do it better than you. You'll never outdo him, and you'll only dirty yourself, right? That's the, you know, if Marco Rubio is going to have learned one lesson from this campaign in his head, that's going to be the lesson. And so that's something that the Clinton people, so there's a real hesitance. The reason she hasn't countered much is that there's a bunch of people that think she needs to run her own race, stay above the fray, and lump every, don't respond to every detail Donald attack, lump it all into there he goes again, erratic Donald Trump. And just try to stick to that message and don't get sucked into the vortex of his personal insults. By the way, easier said than done. every campaign I talked to on the Republican side had that very strategy
right.
for 6 months.
Right.
Until they got desperate.
Ross Perot got in on February of 91. It's now May. Is there any path for a third party? And if so, who does the third party damage? I guess it depends on who it would be if there was one.
Right. Look, it's hard to find one that could be competitive because the Texas deadline is basically done. Okay? You can't get on the ballot in Texas. That's a pretty big state not to be on the ballot on if you want to run as a third-party candidate.
Right.
So I think it's a at this point, the only viable path is if you wanted to hijack the Libertarian Party. You know, it is their conventions at the end of the month. Frankly, it wouldn't take a lot of – they have the opportunity to get on all 50 state ballots because they've been a third party that's been around a while.
Right.
The deadlines are later, all sorts of reasons. I don't know why there's not more talk of that. If by these, you know, people that are serious about thinking about it. Now, Michael Bloomberg's not running because he believes he will hurt Clinton more than hurts Trump.
Right.
And he doesn't want his candidacy to elect Donald Trump. He either wanted to win, period. And if anything, he sees his candidacy as helping Trump. So, it depends on who it is. I do think there is some, I still think there'll be some ambitious Republican who thinks if they get credit for trying to stop Trump, conservatives will say, hey, you were with us to the end, and that might be a leg up in 2020. So that's why I expect somebody of some ambition to try this.
It's like standing in line at IKEA or Costco on a Saturday afternoon. Six more months.
The idea that we're going to be status quo like this for 6 months, just these two people, I just don't believe it. I know that the third party thing's impossible, but my God, the country is screaming for another alternative.
There's no
question. I don't know why the market isn't giving me.
Chuck Todd at Chuck Todd on social media, and of course, Meet the Press. Thank you, Chuck.
Yeah, Chief.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from.
And that's all the time we have for his theme. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
And thanks for joining us today. Have a great day, everyone. Bye bye.
It's a very busy, busy morning.
You have a busy day. Very busy, interesting interview with Chuck Todd.
Yeah, Chuck. Chuck is like I think I feel the same way, and you probably do as well, Dean. Can you give us one other choice, one other option? That's all I'm asking for. What's Carrot Top up to? Ozzy Osbourne still missing?
He made his first appearance in public yesterday, after all the brouhaha that he and Sharon have split. He said that he's been sober for 3.5 years, so that has nothing to do with it. He did not answer any questions about the infidelity allegations that came out yesterday. Still wearing his wedding ring, though, but is no longer living in the house with Sharon. Sharon was missing in action from her talk show yesterday, from the what's it called? The Talk.
Yes.
Called The Talk.
Yes.
She wasn't on, but the girls chatted about the dilemma going on in her life and wish her the best.
Ava Mendez has a secret baby.
Well, she and Ryan Gosling are together. They have, they have a daughter. Now it's like,
is that daughter a secret? Which one's
21?
Secret?
Well, they have one that's 20 months old, and only last week they announced that she was expecting a second child, but on April 29th, the second child was born. So they,
is it a miracle?
They kept it a secret from the press, which, honestly, we don't appreciate.
No.
I know it's their personal life.
No, but they're not entitled to a personal life if you're famous.
If you're having a baby, I think the public needs to know what's going on in your personal life. How dare you keep something like that private? They had another little baby girl. Mother and baby are very healthy.
Do you think the announcement of the baby is to distract from how bad the new Ryan Gosling movie
is? I never said that, though.
Oh.
I haven't reviewed that movie yet. That doesn't come out until the 20th, and I'm feeling a really bad cold coming on that day.
Right.
So I can avoid reviewing that movie.
Stomach flu, a nasty rash, or you got to sit through it one more time?
A nasty rash.
All right.
Yeah.
Update on Prince?
This had to happen. Somebody has come forward claiming to be Prince's long-lost son.
Of course they did.
Saying that this guy, whose name is Carlin Williams, wants to take a DNA test to prove that he is Prince's sole surviving heir and worthy of the all the millions of dollars that are in question because Prince had no will.
And the reason he came forward now is just because he's been busy?
Complete coincidence that it just happens to have happened a couple of weeks after he died.
And finally, Chris Hemsworth news.
Oh, this is my favorite story of the day.
I agree.
So Chris Hemsworth has a daughter named India and two little twin sons. It was little India's birthday. He, you know, calls the bakery because his daughter loves dinosaurs, and the bakery can't get the dinosaur birthday cake done in time for the birthday party. What does the former sexiest man in the world slash Mighty Thor do?
He buys the bakery.
He goes into the kitchen himself. He bakes a dinosaur cake.
There you go.
For his little daughter and decorates it and saves the birthday party. Greatest dad ever.
Yeah. Now, what we don't know is, did he actually hire someone to make the cake at a nearby bakery of a different sort?
There are pictures of him mixing the batter, Steve.
Yeah.
There's pictures of him with his gigantic Mighty Thor biceps churning that batter, pouring the batter.
How dare I doubt the Hemsworth.
As hot as that is, or as hot as that sounds, why wouldn't he just call the bakery 3 days in advance like regular people do?
Good, busy.
Got it.
It's a dude.
Andre, he's the Mighty Thor. He doesn't have time.
I know. Sorry, Dean. You're right.
Why didn't his wife call?
She's busy. She's sleeping with the gardener.
Oh.
Can we go back to the story that a man baked a birthday cake for his little daughter?
Yeah, that kind of is
what's the big
to go.
Deal about that?
Hey, before, well, it's a nice that? Move. It's a nice move.
It's a sweet
it's great,
gesture.
But a lot of guys are better cooks than their wives.
Hey, so. Before we go any further, Dean, and we don't have any time for this, so let me bring it up. the situation is we had great ratings. And we appreciate it very much from the listeners. So I threw out the question, listeners, what can we do for you? So is there a skill, Dean, that you possess more than any other that we could have you do for a listener once we put this together, like we're actually going to?
Well, I've been talking about baking. I'm a pretty good cook.
You are a good cook.
I'll be happy to come to somebody's house. And
what if you two whip up something Greek for the listener?
We could do that,
The Darlis.
Easy.
Dean, because I was going to cook, but then I said, no, something microwavable, and then I just scratched it down to I'll bring food. But if you want to cook, I'll cook with you.
630 Texter wants to know if you guys can make souvlaki.
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 Not simple. The way she spelled it.
That's simple. That's super easy to make. That's not even a challenge.
That's shish kebab. We can do that, Dean.
What's a really hard Greek thing to make?
Anything with phyllo dough.
Pastizzo. Economic success?
Pastizo is pretty...
Pastizzo's hard,
That's very time-consuming.
All right, so pastizzo. Yeah, pastizzo.
No, we're not going to make that. We're going to make something easy.
I believe I've spoken.
We could either do that. We can cook for somebody, or Andre and I can change somebody's transmission in their car.
There you go.
Either is fine with me.
Boy, pastizzo must be tough.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Sounded like I said something differently about coal miner jobs. To put it plainly, I misspoke. It's one reason why I took this trip, to say that directly to the people who are affected.
She said she's going to close the miners that close the mines. And then she comes here 2 days ago and she's begging for your vote. Well, I didn't really mean that. I didn't really mean that. But that's her true feeling.
Country roads, take me home to the place.
Been to West Virginia?
West Virginia.
I was offered a job there, which I didn't take. But lovely people. Beautiful area. Actually, some really good golf there.
No, I've been to Virginia, not West Virginia.
I have been. Beautiful state.
Yeah, you've been calling basketball there, right?
I don't think I've ever done a game there.
Oh, you just like stumbled into West Virginia?
No, but I did. I did spend some time.
It was a long night.
It's a nice state. Nice state. Brad Melke from ABC News standing by. I think people forget, Brad, we still have a couple of primaries, including West Virginia today.
Yeah, that's right. And delegates still on the line for the likes of Donald Trump, who's still marching, of course, to 1237. He'll get there, no doubt, but sort of putting a formal bow on the gift there. And then Hillary Clinton is still 200 delegates away from clinching herself. And this is Bernie Sanders' country, at least if you talk to voters around here. It's Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump heavy. When you talk about independent voters, populist voters, there's a lot of rural poor, and of course, coal mining jobs, which are not going Hillary Clinton's way right now.
Right. You know, this is more than the American League has the DH and the National League doesn't. The way the Republicans and the Democrats pick their nominee is really vastly different because of the superdelegate situation. Brad, do you know if anybody's run the numbers on if Hillary were running under Republican rules, if Bernie Sanders would actually be leading with a chance to win it?
Well, I haven't run the numbers based on all the congressional district math and all the wonky stuff that Republicans actually do to make their process just as convoluted as anyone's. However, Hillary Clinton would be quick to point out it's not as if she's only winning this race because of superdelegates. She's winning in pledged delegates. She's winning in total votes cast. She's winning in the number of states. By almost any metric, she is winning. There's a lot of Bernie Sanders fans out there, actually, with the misperception that the superdelegates are the only thing putting her up, when in fact, they're really what they are is the thing that are letting her clinch it sooner than later.
Is Bernie going to win West Virginia?
That's what it looks like, but we don't have any good polling. We don't have a whole lot of reliable polling coming out of West Virginia. But based on the way the staffs are acting, you certainly get the impression that Bernie Sanders' staff expects to win. He's the only candidate today who's scheduled to speak after results come in, while Hillary Clinton is wrapping things up this afternoon in nearby Kentucky. So she's really looking to get some votes elsewhere in Appalachia, not so much here.
Brad, why? I mean, I guess the big question, why is Bernie Sanders still in? He can't mathematically win. He says, I'm going to stay until California. Last week, he had some of his staffers, I think we talked to you about this too, some of his staff was saying, well, he's going to throw in the towel. Others were saying no. What does he have to gain at this point by staying in?
Yeah. Well, I think you can tell sort of by how they've started allocating their money and their staff. It's become less about winning every delegate up for grabs, really scrapping to win this fight, and more about pushing their message and continuing to stay relevant. I mean, if you're Bernie Sanders, what do you have to lose? Are you going to be a laughingstock of the Democratic Party? Well, Bernie Sanders has never cared about the Democratic Party that much. Are you going to not prolong your Senate career? Well, he's 74 years old. So if you could trade all that to have a few extra months of the largest bully pulpit in America and to perhaps influence the convention, you might take it if you're Bernie Sanders. And I think that is his strategy over the next few months.
Yeah, as an independent who ran as a Democrat because he had to do what he's done or have a shot, I don't think anybody's more surprised than Bernie Sanders that he's been in the position he's been in. And he didn't make barely any noise for all the time he was in the House and his term and a half in the Senate. This is his moment, man. This is it.
Yeah, and West Virginia, I think, is actually a great example of the sort of place that goes for Bernie Sanders in the Democratic race. Keep in mind, West Virginia is filled with Democrats. It's actually got more registered Democrats than Republicans. It's just that those Democratic voters hate Democratic candidates. The state hasn't been blue since 1996 when it voted for Bill Clinton. It generally goes in the general election for Republican candidates, but it will turn its ear sometimes towards an independent populist like Bernie Sanders, even if he is more against coal than perhaps Hillary Clinton even is.
It's Brad Mielke from ABC News. Appreciate the update, and go home soon, will you?
Thank you very much.
All right, see you. There is another piece of political news just ahead of traffic, Mary. You know, you get to the point where you go, seriously? Greatest country on earth? 335, 340 million people, and we come down to these two. Explain that to me. Well, at least we're not electing this guy, who has been called the Trump of the Far East, the new president of the Philippines, and all that's waiting here is the formal announcement, Rodrigo Duterte, who has been the longtime mayor of Davao City. He's 71 years old. He made jokes about a nun who was raped and murdered.
Oh.
He suggested that he should have been first in line. He also has admitted to killing three, four, five people himself. He has been the strong-arm mayor of Davao City, which has become one of the safest cities in a crime-plagued Philippines, one of the poorest countries there are. 100 million people, by the way, in the Philippines. This is a large country. And a lot of them stuffed into this small island of the Philippines. And he will now be the next president, and he will continue death squads. These are off-the-books, non-cops who go around and will kill drug dealers and criminals. No trial. Kill them. Bodies are being thrown into the rivers as signs to people that this is what he'll do. He's 71 years old. Regularly admits that he's after all the women. He spoke at a wedding, and John Oliver did a really good job with this story, by the way, this week on Last Week Tonight on HBO, which is more than just a comedy show.
No, it's a good show.
Yeah, it's a good show. And Oliver took this up this week as well. But if you want to read about this guy and go, well, at least Trump's not this guy. Again, it's President Duterte, D-U-T-E-R-T-E, the new president of the Philippines. At least it's not him. Isn't that great that I have to give you those characteristics and go, well, at least Trump's not that guy.
Yeah, that's not good.
But how's his hair?
And his hair is pretty terrific.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all that matters then.
Diane is standing by, prepared to sing.
I'm going to do Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, wow.
Mama, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on. Doesn't really matter.
Pretty good. Johnny Claus joins us. Did you hear that when that woman called in yesterday?
Okay, that was amazing.
Yeah, she nailed it.
That was incredible.
Turns out she did all of Freddie Mercury's stunt work. We didn't know that until after she hung up.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's solid. And we have Susan standing by, but let's do the plug first. And
sure.
Let's start with the plugs of what's coming up. When are we doing, Mary Sandberg? Sandberg. When are we doing the actual finals? Friday?
Friday.
Tomorrow we announce the finalists?
Yes.
Okay. Correct. And the rest of the week, who else do we have coming in?
Tom Brokaw. That Bergeron guy for Mary.
Tom Bergeron.
And
you don't
Jane
watch
Lynch?
Dancing with the Stars?
I don't.
Okay.
But I hear about it from Mary, so I feel like I watch it.
Bergeron. I used to watch it. It just kind of jumped the shark.
Bergeron's delightful.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's so entertaining still.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Aaron Andrews? Not so much.
And Jane Lynch?
Jane Lynch will be in. Al Jean, the EP of The Simpsons. She's really
How about those stories?
Yeah. I'm excited, Jane
Imagine
Lynch.
Imagine what Homer wants in his trailer. Well, it's not code.
What?
It's actually.
All right, yeah. I got to admit something. I've never seen The Simpsons.
Well, you know who Homer is.
Yeah, the dad.
Yeah, there you go.
He eats donuts.
Yeah. So all that coming up this week, John, and you'll be in tomorrow?
I will be in tomorrow and Friday as well.
Yeah, to pick the finalists and then be there for the finalists.
And you know where I'll be Sunday night?
Yeah, get the plug-in for that.
Yeah, early late night talk show with Steve Cochran at Zanies in Rosemont. Get your tickets today. Go to zaniesrosemont.com or contact their phone directly, 847-813-0484.
John was very upset the other day because he couldn't remember the phone number and he thought he blew the plug.
True.
This show has been built on bad plugs.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, please. You want to hear this woman sing?
I do, please.
Let's go to Susan. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And Susan, what will you sing for us?
I'm going to sing for John tonight. I sing Angel from Montgomery.
All right, John, what is she singing?
Boy, I didn't pick that up. Let me just give the number again.
The phone broke up. I'm sorry, Susan. Say what you're going to sing one more time.
That's okay. I'm going to sing some John Prine. I'm going to sing Angel from Montgomery.
Angel from Montgomery.
John Prine? Is that John Prine? Yes,
very nice. All right, Susan, whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready, hit it.
All right, here we go. I'm an old woman named after my mother. My old man's another child that's grown old. It dreams of lightning and thunder was desire. This old house would have burnt down a long time ago. They see an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to. Believing is living just a hard way to go.
I liked it. I liked it. I liked the twang. I like the old twang. You know what she did, John? She primed that up.
Oh, she did. She actually did. And that was a good choice. John Prine from Maywood, where I was born. So we have that connection.
Awesome.
So that was a great choice.
All right, Susan, hold on.
And
we have prizes for you just for being on. But that's our only twang entry in the twang category. And here's your last chance now. You can send me an entry, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. Send it to me at Cochran Show on Twitter or Steve Cochran Show at WGNRadio.com. Anything more specific to that plug?
Me?
For karaoke?
Oh, no, but I had a John Prine story.
You got a John Prine story?
Yeah.
Who's got a John Prine story?
My dad played the album with the song, There's a Hole in Daddy's Arm Where All the Money Goes. And he used to try to tell my sister and I it was a great song. And we're like, so depressing. Hole in Daddy's Arm. So all the money's going to drugs for Daddy. And that's supposed to be fun.
What a sweet thing to share with your daughters. Got to take Dick aside and talk to him. By the way, Dick is your dad. Just for clarification purposes. All right, a minute before 9, and John, we will see you tomorrow.
I will see you tomorrow morning.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:12, David Hochberg later this hour. Got a seminar coming up that you're going to want to go to. We'll talk about that and some financial stuff as well. Got some John Stewart's back, at least in some form. He was getting after Trump last night, or yesterday afternoon, actually, at a deal. We'll play you back some of that audio. And Bill and Wendy, of course, at 10 o'clock. From the 847, these are texters asking for stuff from us. Because after all, the ratings are so good, I feel like, you know, we should do something extra special for the listeners. So I volunteered everybody on the show to do, you know, run some errands for the listeners. Maybe do some tidying up, whatever the case may be. So we've got a lot of good suggestions all morning. Here's a few more. 847, can you drive me to work today? Because it's bad out there. It's probably a little late for it because I didn't get to it when she texted in. But, you know, that would have been a nice touch.
Well, you kind of are. You're riding along.
Yes, that's right, Dave.
Good call.
From the 847 texter, tuck point my chimney.
You need a professional to do
Luke
that.
Could probably do that. Luke could do that.
847, get all Wisconsin license plates banned from the left lanes in Chicago since that's the only place they drive.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel that, well, I'm not going to get in trouble. I feel there's another state whose drivers do the same thing.
Illinois?
Nope.
Who are you talking about?
The state.
I don't want you, you won't say it, right?
Yeah. Rhymes with Indiana?
Yeah. Yeah. Dave, I can't believe you just wrote that down.
Texter from 312, Steve, can you take me golfing at White Eagle? I live in your neighborhood. Well, that's where the summer home is. You know, my main residence, of course, remains my double wide in East St. Louis.
See, anything with involving golf with you, I think would be great. You know, if you go play golf with a listener, you know, I don't think you should shine the clubs.
I don't
but...
walk the dogs. From a 708 texter, can you get Flo off my TV? We broke up. The progressive lady?
Yeah, she's annoying.
Oh, really?
Why?
You don't like, you like Flo?
Flo's fine. You know what I like is the AT&T girl. She's very
pleasant. I like her too, yeah.
Nice. 513 texter, maybe you guys should do a charity benefit for a children's hospital or something nice like that.
Well, that's a great idea.
We do a lot of charitable stuff. I do have to say I'm proud of all you guys on the show, and we do commit to a lot of charities.
We do a ton,
it's a nice
yeah.
idea. 847 texter, Steve, could you read one of my texts on the air? No. No, I can't do that. 312 texter, good morning. I live in a 55 and older community. We're having an event. We'd love you all to host it. What do you say?
I'm in. Well, wait, where is it? Is it GU?
Well, we're a little short on the details.
GU.
That's all I have
so
far.
We have to make sure it's not GU.
Some of you couldn't get in either.
Why?
We're 55 too young. And older.
Oh, that's right. I couldn't get in.
Steve and I could go.
Dave and I and Orion will be there. 630 texter, Steve, would you mind staying at my house and bottle feeding my foster kittens before you leave for work?
You don't really like cats, though.
That's a no.
It's not that I don't like cats. I'm deadly allergic.
Right.
So.
That's it.
Not the listeners, to cats.
Right.
Yeah. 630, I could use a tire rotation.
I don't know how to do that. Do you guys know how to change a tire?
Sure.
Of course.
I don't.
Sure. Yeah.
I just call the guy.
Not good at it either.
The problem now is, though, they don't give you regular spare tires. You get the mini spares that just get you to the tire place to get a new tire.
I don't even have that. I have no spare. I have a can of Fix-A-Flat.
Just call Dave. He'll help
Fix-A-Flat's
you.
Fix-A-Flat's bad for your tires.
Yeah, it is not good.
Well, Dave helped me.
It's better than driving on a flat. Yeah, I helped you, Mary.
Remember that day? Yeah. It was like 20 below zero, yeah, and Dave went out there. And he blew up my tire.
Dave's the best.
It was awesome.
Dave's great.
What a guy.
630, you can come to my house and put all my Christmas decorations away. They're filling up my basement. 630, Dean can come over and critique my child's elementary school play.
That would be fun.
I thought Timmy phoned it in. 312, I'd like Dave to come by and baste me like a turkey.
Oh, my. Okay.
Can you explain what that even means?
Oh, I think you know.
Boom, chicka, boom, boom.
Wow.
630, Steve, if you believe your ratings are good, you'll believe anything. Remember, everybody gets a trophy now. Hold on, we get trophies as well?
Oh, so we all get a trophy. Yeah. Cool.
No idea.
Andrea wins them all, but we hand them out.
Yeah.
630, Dean.
Give me some of mine, guys.
Dean come to my house with a batch of his mom's homemade yogurt. But he better bring his mom with him. Steve, can you bring some Blackhawks cardboard cutouts over so I can put them in my garage with the door up and the neighbors are stupid? They'll think that I'm hanging with the Hawks.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bad idea.
Steve, could you have a politics-free day at week? No politics at all.
We did that once.
Yeah, you tried that.
Yeah, almost killed me.
It was successful, almost.
And 708 texter, our family would love to learn stand-up from somebody related to the show who's a true professional and always makes us laugh. Steve, is your mom available?
Oh,
wow.
917, Steve Cochran Show continues. Standing by is Angela Adkins from a group called NAMI DuPage. Their Shine a Light Gala, which you and I co-hosted last year, and we couldn't do it this year because of conflicts. But I know I'll be back. And I saw Angela, what was it, Angela? I saw you like a month ago at an event in Naperville. And you're doing wonderful work. So first off, start by explaining what NAMI is.
Okay, thank you. NAMI, we provide support, education, and advocacy for individuals who have a mental illness along with their families, their extended families, and their caregivers. And we cover the entire DuPage County, and we're a peer-led organization, which means that we use individuals that are doing well in their own recovery, as well as families, to provide those support and education classes and all the other programs that we provide.
And I do have to say, DuPage County is doing a nice job of support, aren't they?
They're doing a wonderful job. Last year, we moved into an amazing new community center, which was in partnership with the DuPage County, which means that while the government provide a lot of services for people with mental illnesses, as a private organization, nonprofit, we can fill in those gaps and provide extended services. So it's a really neat partnership.
Now, the gala, the Shine a Light Gala, we had a good time. We had a nice time with you guys last year. I don't know how you're going to do it without us.
I don't know either. You're going to be terribly missed.
So tell everybody what's happening.
All right. Well, the Shine a Light Gala is this Saturday, May the 14th at the Marriott in Naperville. Begins at 5:30, and there's an underlying Star Wars theme. It's going to be an amazing evening. It's our major fundraiser for the year, and really the funds that we raise for that provide much-needed funds for our social recreation programs, our living room, which is a new pilot program, which is an alternative to the emergency rooms, our work readiness program, and then obviously our support and education programs. So we really, really do want as many people to come out and support, especially during Mental Health Awareness Month.
You are a Star Wars geek. You're missing a Star Wars themed fundraiser.
I know, Angela. You know I would be there. My goddaughter is graduating from the University of Iowa on Saturday. Otherwise, I would be there. But I'm glad you brought that up, Steve, because your silent auction, what did I walk away with last year? A purse, a Kate Spade purse, and a wine tasting? Mm-hmm. I kind of go crazy when I bid on these. So yeah. Your silent auction is wonderful prizes and for a great cause. So bid.
Thank you.
Again, NAMI DuPage, NAMI, is a 501c3 not-for-profit that have been improving the lives of thousands of people who deal with mental illness. And Angela, you know, I've talked about this on and off the air. We need to end the stigma. Everybody has something. We need to you don't walk it off. You don't snap out of it. You don't go, oh, you have so much to feel good about. Why are you bumming everybody else out? Knock it off. You know, listen. Shut up and listen. Listen to people who are sad. Let them talk about it. Offer resources. Offer help. And I'd start with you guys, Angela, because you're a great resource and you can direct everybody.
Thank you. We are a wonderful resource. And there's always somebody at the other end of the phone and many, many people willing to listen to both families and the individuals. And we have huge success in getting people on the right path and reconnecting families with one another again.
All the best to you. Have a great Saturday night. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
And again, to get more information on that, and I suppose the best place to go is just to the website, namidupage.org, NAMIDuPage, one word, .org. David Hochberg in a few minutes, but we come back. Let's play a little bit of John Stewart from yesterday and some other shenanigans from campaign 2016. This is the Steve Cochran Show. This is 720 WGN. One thing I forgot to mention, still to come this week on the program, Paul Coit. And you're going to talk about this in the big story coming up, Paul Coit on the new mayor of London. A Muslim mayor of London.
First Muslim to hold the post.
And Coit will be on tomorrow to talk about that. John Stewart's back. John Stewart from The Daily Show. He and David Letterman mostly have been having time to have a beard-growing contest, and I think Letterman's winning. But he was doing a function yesterday where he is first time he's really spoke outwardly on the record for an extended period of time about how much he loves Donald Trump. And we've talked about this for a year, the thin skin. He can say anything he wants about anybody, but the moment you criticize him, you're a terrible person. Here's John Stewart.
Look, I don't even know that Donald Trump is eligible to be president. And that's not a birther thing. Look, I'm not a constitutional scholar, so I can't necessarily say, but are you eligible to run if you are a man baby or a baby man? I don't know. And again, I'm not here to be politically incorrect. If they're referred to as man baby Americans, but he is a man baby. He has the physical countenance of a man and a baby's temperament and hands.
The tiny hands, the tiny raccoon-like hands, as John Oliver would say.
Don't bring up tiny hands.
John Stewart says, look, the Republicans are at fault for sure. But John Stewart, who is as dyed-in-the-wool Democrat as it gets, said you can blame the Democrats for Trump as well.
And at some level, and I'll lay the blame then with the Democrats, the door is open to an like Donald Trump because the Democrats haven't done enough to show to people that government that can be effective for people can be efficient for people. And if you can't do that, then you've lost the right to make that change, and someone's going to come in and demagogue you.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
So here's the ultimate question. Again, not the first time it's been brought up, but Stewart on this as well. Is Hillary a cut-and-paste candidate? Is she someone that's running for president because she feels it's her turn and her time? Or is she really committed to an idea? And if so, what is it?
What I think about Hillary Clinton is, I imagine to be a very bright woman without the courage of her convictions, because I'm not even sure what they are. So that is not to say that she is not preferable to Donald Trump, because at this point, I would vote for Mr. T over Donald Trump. But she will. I think she will be in big trouble if she can't find a way. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a real person doesn't exist underneath there. I don't know.
It's John Stewart getting deep and reflecting.
And we are going to have Mr. T in studio soon.
Oh, you've been saying that for a year. What is the holdup?
I don't know. I'm not ready to share yet.
Okay. Mr. T lives with Andrea.
No, we live in the same vicinity. Okay, the same building.
You're in the same building.
Yeah.
And where do you see him mostly working out?
I haven't seen him in a while. He's kind of keeping a low profile. He travels to Europe a lot for the A-team because the A-team is still big in Europe.
Are you sure you're not just hallucinating?
No, I'm telling you guys. It's okay. Mr. T. Trust me.
One more thing. Bernie Sanders, your favorite crazy uncle, is still out on the campaign trail. And you remember a month or so ago, I think it was in the Washington State primary, he was doing a speech in Seattle, and a little bird landed on his podium.
Oh, yeah.
And the crowd went bananas. Showed off Bernie's sensitive side, his soft side, his sweet side. A little more of that yesterday when a campaign staffer decided it was time.
Hi, this is Senator Bernie Sanders. When we began this campaign 12 months ago, nobody thought that we would get as far as we have. We have made real progress. Oh, wait a second. Hey, Rio, Hector has a question for you. He's a good guy. Why don't you help him out?
It was Bernie Sanders setting up a proposal for staff members.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's going to do the wedding. You take him. Do you take her? Or him, who am I to judge? And if the end, we'll have a knish and a cannoli because you're Italian and you're one of us. It's at 9:28. We'll come back with a big story in a moment on 720 WGN.
He's a good guy. Why don't you help him out?
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard. Now everything is easy 'cause of you.
Nobody knows more about your house. How to fi it, how to refi it. Cats sold separately. Even if there are two cats in the yard. David Ockberg's here. Hello, my friend.
Thanks for having me. How to fi it? Is that...
How to fi it or refi it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
You have a seminar coming up.
Yeah.
Where are you doing it?
We are doing it at Zany's Comedy Club next Wednesday, May 18th.
It's not going to be that funny, though.
No. It's going to be funnily serious. It's going to be seriously
funny. It's
going to
be fun.
Yes.
And informative.
Yes.
And when are you doing it?
Next Wednesday night, May 18th, in St. Charles at Pheasant Run.
Yeah.
It is free. So anybody that wants to sign up can sign up.
It's not a two-drink minimum?
If you want a drink, I think the bar will be open. And I think they'll be serving snacks that you'll have to pay for.
Okay.
Where I can just throw food at you during the seminar, if that's fine.
What are you going to teach people?
I'm going to teach people how to enhance their credit. Why credit?
It's a big deal, people.
Why credit is important. Why you shouldn't carry credit card balances on your credit cards, even though other people you talk to that have no idea what the hell they're talking about are telling you that's good for your credit while you're paying interest and your credit's getting blasted.
Right. So the idea would be show that you are a good credit risk by having credit card or cards and paying them. Use them and pay them.
If you can. Now, I'm not that naive to realize, to think that everybody could pay off their credit cards every month because some people just aren't financially capable of doing that. So how to manage the credit card debt you have to maximize your credit profile and enhance your credit profile. I can't tell you how many people I talk to who are qualifying for a home because I've been running ads to please call me first before you talk to a realtor so we could walk you through the process. And we're getting a ton of calls and a ton of kids calling whose parents listen to the station who say, yeah, I have about $10,000 worth of credit card debt. I go, that's great. What's that costing you, about $400 a month? They're like, yeah. I'm like, do you have any idea that $400 a month equates to about an $80,000 to an $85,000 mortgage payment? They're like, I had no idea. And I go, well, that, and how much money do you have in the bank? $30,000 to $40,000 to put down. I'm like, they're like, what should we do? I'm like, well, stop talking, go online, access your credit card, and pay the $10,000 off right now.
Yeah, get rid of it.
Get rid of it right now.
Right.
And then, you know, we're going to have slides showing people how that impacts your ability to borrow money, how that impacts the ability to secure a low rate, how it impacts your overall monthly payment with the PMI, because a PMI is impacted based upon your credit scores. And I did one, a guy had a 702 credit score. You think it's a pretty good credit score, and it is. His wife had an 810, a lot better than the guy. It was like a $90 difference in the PMI rate. So it's like over $1,000 a month. Thank God the wife made more money than the guy. And I'm like, you want to be on the loan? We can put you on the loan. The rate's going to be an eighth of to a quarter of a point higher, but you're going to be paying over a grand worth of PMI. We don't need you on the loan. Let's saddle up your wife financially, not literally, if that's what they want to do at home, that's another story, but you know, in their spare time, but let's put your wife's the strongest horse in this race. Let's put the financial burden on her to get us to the finishing line.
Sometimes common sense isn't so common, though. Sometimes you have to take people through and explain it.
Well, how many times do people buy a home, Steve? Okay, it's not a daily occurrence, okay?
Right.
And people think, well, you know what? I Googled it. Well, great. You know what? I'm glad you Googled it. That's fantastic. Take your Google and Google it, all right? I can't tell people what I would think you should do with your Google, but, you know, it comes down to Google's not going to tell you about the rate. Google's going to give you general information about what's going on in the marketplace and general information. I'm going to give you specifics.
Here's what I would do with Google if I were trying to figure out whether or not I should use Hochberg. I'd Google and get his number, and then I'd call him. Because this is not a business that you know. If you know this business, you're probably in this business.
Right.
If you know this business well, then you probably aren't in a situation where you're trying to figure out what to do with your money. That's a small, tiny, 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 tiny percentage of the audience. So in the same way that you go to a doctor when you're sick, that you go to a mechanic when you need your car fixed, that you listen to this show when you want to get entertained because it's good. If you need the experts in the field, why wouldn't you go to Hochberg? He's good.
I did.
He's good.
He was awesome. You know, when you say pay off the credit cards too,
mm-hmm.
plural, I mean, you helped me with this as well. You know how you every time you go to a store now and they say, hey, you can save 20% off. You can open a Carson's, a Macy's, a Pier 1, a Nordstrom,
sure.
fill in the blank. You shouldn't have all those. Don't
right.
have 900 credit cards either.
And keep balances on them. I don't know who's telling people that balances on your credit card's a good idea. Whoever tells you that, you should run away from them as fast as you can and never take any type of financial advice because you're paying interest on that credit card until you pay that credit card down to zero.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, were confused. There was a big political movement where usury rates were limited.
Right.
And it was hailed as this gigantic move in credit card sanctity, and now everybody's going to have better luck with their credit cards.
Sure, that's crap.
Yeah, it is crap.
Right. That was done in Obama 1, the Schumer bill. Senator Schumer passed that law to fix the credit card stuff. So what do these morons do in Washington? They fixed it by jacking up the minimum payments. Okay, the credit card company's like, okay, no problem. You want to play?
We'll make it on the front end.
You want to play with us? We'll play with you. Okay, the minimum payment now goes from 2% minimum payment to 4%.
Right.
So way to go, Congress. Okay, so now you got a person that's barely hanging on with $20,000 to $30,000. You got me fired up, right? $20,000 to $30,000 with the credit card debt at 2% is $400 to $600, right? It's manageable.
Right.
So now you just, what do these morons do? They turn it into $800 to $1,200 a month. Who the hell can afford that? So what do they have to do? They have to go out and pick out another credit card to pay the credit cards off. I promise you.
I don't look for his fuse and light it. I really don't. I just ask him a question that I think is worthy of an answer.
It's ridiculous.
And then he starts getting that twitch, that Hochberg twitch, and then you know he's going to go.
Now you know what you look like after a Trump press conference.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. We fixed it, and now we made it harder on people to get by the month. It's genius. Absolute genius.
So the message, kids, is have your credit cards. Have a couple.
Yes.
And pay them off if you can,
right.
But certainly pay them down as fast as you can.
And you should use them, okay? Use them responsibly, right? Responsibly, whatever the word.
They shouldn't be a space holder in your wallet or purse?
No. But, you know, it's
four T's. What are you yelling at me for?
I'm talking loud. It's the four T's. Toothpaste, toilet paper, tampons, transportation.
Yes.
Okay? If you don't, you know, men use them for the 4th of July so you don't burn your hands off. Okay? I've got a great technique I'll show you for the tampons. But what you do is you use it for the basics.
What?
Okay? It's a safety tip for men. All right?
Right. Okay.
I'm trying to save people's fingers. So what we're doing is you load up the tank of gas. Costs you $40. Put on a credit card. Right? You get paid. Go online, pay off the credit card. You get points. Okay? You go on a trip, try renting a car without a credit card. Try getting an airplane ticket without a credit card. Okay? You want bomb-sniffing dogs coming up? You know, whip out a couple of Benjamins to buy an airplane ticket at O'Hare or Midway and say,
cash is not welcome.
Cash is not welcome.
No, okay, I'm not kidding.
You need credit card to check in to get your ticket and check your
bags. It's part of life. So have a couple, pay them down as fast as you can.
This is what we're going to be talking about. Also, down payment programs. We're going to be talking about how much you need for a down payment, where the down payment could come from. All my realtors will be out there that are part of my team. Our attorney will be out there. Our credit enhancement expert is out there. Andrea was at our last one out at O'Hare. And you know, we had them lined up with questions an hour after the event. And we'll stay there as long as you want answering your questions. So all you have to do to register, it's free. It's a free seminar.
How do you get in?
You have to go to WGNDavid.com. There's a credit enhancement seminar logo right there. Click on that. And it'll download you to enable you to apply for the seminar. You could take as many people as you want. If you want to bring your family, you want to bring your kids. Okay. If you're living in your parents' basement and want to get out of your basement, register. If your parents who can't get your mojo on because your kids are in the basement, you want them out of your basement because it's been three, 4 years.
Register them.
Right. Register them and bring them and make sure Tim come with them to make sure they get the hell out of your basement. Okay, you know, these are the things that we're going to be talking about. WG and David, there's a section there. If you have any questions, what we did last time was I built the seminar around the people's questions that attended the seminar.
Ah.
So if you have a question, put it in, and I flash the question up there, and then we answer your question.
Ah.
So I based the seminar.
So you can go to WG and David now and throw your question in.
Absolutely. Click on the credit enhancement seminar and register. Now, Zanies in St. Charles, all right? Pheasant Run.
Mm-hmm.
We usually do it at a bigger place. We usually do it in 400 to 500 seat.
Yeah, this is 100 and, well, it's probably 200.
It's 230 comfortably. Yeah. So it's first come, first serve. All right. We just opened it up today. I announced it on my show this weekend. This is the first mass blast we're sending out on your show because you obviously have the largest audience around, and we help WGN listeners as best we can. So, yeah, go to WGNDavid.com. to register.
WJNDavid.com. Can you hang around and talk more? Or are you too tired?
No, no, I'm good.
You sure you're not winded?
You like those lox sandwiches? Was that
They're really nice of you.
Yeah, yeah, but you were stressed and strained. And
I'm fine.
We need to do a blood pressure check? Are you okay?
I popped, as long as you're okay. Nitro pills.
Nitro pills.
I popped Imodium for something else.
All right, just lay back for a second. You'll be fine. It is 9:55. David Hochberg's here. I want to thank Ethan Foreman, H. Foreman and Son, the oldest smoked salmon company in the entire world. And if you go to, what did you bring by today, Ben?
I brought by Jewish soul food, bagels and lox sandwiches with cream cheese on it. My neighbor, Ethan Foreman, is the U.S. distributor here in the United States, and he lives around the corner from me. I said, I'm going to be on WGN. Why don't you make some lox sandwiches? And he's like, I'll make you lox sandwiches and go one better if you go to Foreman's USA. It's Foreman's USA.com and type in WGN Fish.
That's is that the greatest promo code ever? WGN Fish.
Yeah. WGN Fish.
They were really, really good. Perfect size, perfect amount of cream cheese, and the perfect amount of sandwich.
If you put in WGN Fish, you get 20% off your order.
It's really good.
Yeah, and this is the best. You know, it's Jewish soul food, lox, right? Smoked salmon. So I could tell you, this is the best lox I've ever eaten. And whenever we have family over or relatives.
You're over at Foreman's.
I call him up. I'm like, hey, I need a pound or two, and he drops it off at my door. It's amazing.
Nice to have the neighbors that...
to have a neighbor that's got a freezer full of lox around the corner.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He goes on vacation, you check the mail, and raid his refrigerator.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you to Foreman's, Ethan Foreman in particular, but H. Foreman and Son. Again, you go to Foreman's. This might be my favorite promotion in a long time. You go to foremansusa.com. You put in WGN Fish. Oh, this doing it for Bernie. WGN Fish.
20% off.
20% off.
And it's the best lox you will ever eat in your life.
Anybody got a question for Mr. Hochberg on their home or their finances before we go? Before we run out of time with Bill and Wendy.
How far in between? I know you just refinanced me last year. It was the greatest thing I ever did. Anybody who is, you know, needs to refinance has to do it.
Right.
How long should you wait before doing it again? Because I know now people are saying, oh, they're dropping more. Do it again. Do it again. How long should you wait?
Well, most lenders have an early payoff policy of 6 months. Uh-huh. So if you want to be nice to your lender and you don't want your lender to get burned after helping you, you should wait 180 days before refinancing again. I'd like to thank the guy that I refinanced in Indiana that paid off his loan in 115 days that cost me the fee that I earned by busting my rear end helping him. So thanks, Brian. I appreciate that.
So don't do that.
So, it would be nice if you waited 180 days from the day that your loan funds. Would be nice to start the process. You could typically start it, 150 days after to get it going, but it'd be nice to go back to your old lender and ask them what the date is so they don't get in trouble after they just spent a bunch of time helping you accomplish your goal of paying off your debt or taking money out or lowering your rate.
Should you do it again for like a half a percentage
Absolutely.
Point? You should.
Do it. I've got a lady up in Cortland right now, right outside of DeKalb, 10 miles outside of DeKalb, that we're refinancing her FHA loan, dropping it down a quarter of a point, covering all of her closing costs, in paying all of her closing costs, loading up her escrow account too. And she's going to use the money she's getting back from her escrow account. I know we're a lot of moving pieces here, but to pay off her credit card debt, she's going to save maybe 60, 70 bucks on her mortgage payment. But by paying off her credit card debt, she's going to save $250 paying off her credit card debt. Her credit scores will go up. Her husband and two kids are only going to be in the house for another couple of 2-3 years. And they're going to be able to save more money, have stronger credit when they go to sell their home, and get a lower rate when they go to secure a new home on a new loan. Down when they sell their current home in a couple of years.
I'm going to tell people about your company. You tell me what's happening, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Looking to learn how to enhance your credit and obtain invaluable home buying tips, you need to attend David Hochberg's Credit Enhancement and Home Buying Seminar, as I like to call it, DHCEHBS.
Rolls right off your tongue.
Yeah. It's May 18th at Zanies in St. Charles. Is it funny? Oh, there'll be entertaining moments,
mm-hmm.
but this is a legitimate financial seminar with important information from you, or for you, from David Hochberg and his pals. You want to learn proven and effective methods to secure the lowest interest rate when purchasing or refinancing a home? I like to call that FIRE, refi. Yeah. You're tired of not being able to get your groove on living in your parents' basement. You're tired of not being able to get your groove on because your kids are living in the basement. You want to register for David's free credit enhancement and home buying seminar May 18th at Zany's Comedy Club in St. Charles. You go to WGNDavid.com and you just click on the link, right?
You just click on the link and it'll take you right to where you need to register. Tell me how many people, their names and email address, phone number, and the question you would like answered during the seminar. And Ross will be there too.
Ross Cochran?
Ross Cochran. Oh, he'll be changing oil in the parking lot for everybody. Free oil change.
You should open for the show so that people like you when he comes out. 312-751-1333 or WGNDavid.com for Pearl Mortgage.